It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. How you guys doing? Almost the end of March.
Almost the end of March. We have a special guest as we reach the end of March. Curtis Hoke joining us from Newsbusters.
Great to be with you. It's exciting to be on this podcast. Wanted to see what all the fun was about.
And people can join in the fun by downloading on iTunes and Google Play and Spotify. You need to catch up on any that you may have missed. But this week in particular has been an awful lot of fun. Where to begin? Well, let's just start with the Mueller report comes in. Oh no, there's no Russian collusion and the network's meltdown.
Oh no, it's so bad. Everyone needs a safe space and it's, oh my gosh, it's just so good. They're just beyond, they're so speechless and their looks on their faces are just, I mean, gosh, it's priceless. It's almost like election night.
Almost. And a reminder that Hillary Clinton is still not president, just to cap everything off, because why not?
And she hasn't tweeted yet about this whole Mueller report yet this week, since Friday.
So. Are you waiting with the anticipation for the tweets to come out?
Oh my gosh, I'm just very excited. She's going to be like Stacey Abrams, thinking that she still won the election. I don't know, we'll see.
I don't know. I think she's going to ignore it. I really do. I think she's going to ignore it unless she decides to take up the whole, because now they've moved the goalpost. If y'all noticed how it's not about collusion. Now it's about obstruction. So we'll see how far down that rabbit hole they want to go. But other than that, I don't know. There's not really a whole lot she can say without just it just kind of looking sad and pathetic.
Well, that's kind of what she does, so I don't know. That's true. This is what she does, yeah.
What's sad and pathetic, though, is watching a lot of these anchors on these cable news networks go through the mental gymnastics to try to keep this alive. What are you seeing out there, Curtis?
What's difficult is, you know, when this letter first came out, they saw it when we did, so their live reactions were... kind of betrayed their own beliefs over the last few years. You had people like Katie Turse say that this vindicates the president on collusion. You had Joe Scarborough, you know, being very upset about it. You had Al Sharpton saying it's, quote, time to move on from this whole thing. But now in the last couple of days, we've seen the narrative change. You see Eric Swalwell say that he has not accepted the findings that Barr has put out from the Mueller report. You have, you know, Adam Schiff continuing to push ahead. You have Chris Matthews and his crew last night try to say that Barr and Trump conspired to, with this Barr rollout, that this is how it was going to go. Once the midterms happened, he was going to fire Jeff Sessions. He was going to pick this guy. That when this report came out, it would save the Trump presidency, despite whatever Mueller found. And again, of course, this was without evidence, and it was with the help of Ben Rhodes, who is a perpetual liar, and joked about, you know, lying to the news media regarding the Iran deal. So the media talk about conspiracy theories. They say the president has been spreading conspiracy theories with no collusion. Well, now that that has been proven true, they are the ones now engaging in a little bit of conspiracy theory peddling here, which is, you know, it's a little fun.
And so it could, what Trump's be up to here of saying, I won, I'm exonerated. These other guys are the bad guys. They're the felons, basically, not me. And when we finally do see the Mueller report, a month from now, 2 months from now, they have already won the PR battle. Is that what? Because otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Because if they're going to be completely shattered by the results of the Mueller report when it does come out, why are they lying now? If they're lying,
there's not enough tinfoil in the world for the hats to be made that are necessary to keep this going.
Oh, yeah, multiple layers here. It's just cue the Alex Jones gif of the tin hat, you know, where he's got that smirk going. Because that's really what Jim Acosta, Wolf Blitzer, you name it, in the news media, they've been peddling here. Brian Stelter and the rest of his crew are saying the news media should be proud of what was going on. And the best part is Jeff Zucker, president of CNN, said that journalists are not investigators. They have an entire CNN Investigates unit, but they're not investigating.
Job.
I don't know. They make stuff up. They still haven't answered what happened with that Michael Cohen story and Lanny Davis, but Carl Bernstein, Jim Sciutto, they're still on television. That's the other thing, that all these people who've been proven wrong, they're still on television. John Dean, all these people from Watergate that were saying that this is the same at or worse than Watergate, they're still on CNN. They're still on MSNBC. making, you know, six figures probably. And it, I mean, it's just amazing that these people are still allowed to be on television.
Michael Avenatti's not on anymore.
Well, yeah. Oh, you know, between him and Mark Garagos, the feds are seeming to be raiding CNN's green room. We'll see what's going on here. Jeff Zucker, you might want to get some extra security here.
Can we get a special counsel to investigate their green room? That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Can we put one forth?
Yeah, we're just going to say who we can flip. You know, we're trying to get one or two of them that might be closeted Republicans to flip, you know, and wear wires, and that'll be fun.
Lock them in own room. Force them to watch their old programming.
I'm sure there's a 25th Amendment in the CNN employee handbook or whatever, so we'll see.
Here's kind of the thing, though, is we've seen this over and over again with the media, right? Like, how many times do they have to get egg all over their faces? How many times does this have to just be so incredibly embarrassing? And we've seen kind of a string of this, right? Like, we saw it like with the Covington kids, and we saw it with Kavanaugh, and we saw it with, you know, just all of these, you know, where they end up getting proven wrong in all of their predictions and in what they think is going on. You know, and so here's my question is, now you've kind of got it. It felt like for about 2 seconds after Barr's letter, his summary of the Mueller report came out, it felt like for about 2 seconds that you had some journalists kind of leaning a little bit towards a mea culpa, kind of, you know, well, maybe we jumped the gun here. Maybe we kind of messed up. Maybe, you know, maybe there are at least questions we should ask about how the media does their jobs. I mean, even Brian Stelter was like, you know, maybe we should stop rewarding speculation and go back more towards reporting actual facts. But then, of course, he completely switched. So my question is there, I mean, other than this snapshot in time where we all get to kind of, you know, laugh at their stupidity, there's the question of what now? Does anything get learned from this?
Well, the interesting thing is, so that you pointed it out, you, Brittany, that was great, that in real time, that I mentioned earlier, that they were kind of seeming like being like, well, maybe like we were wrong here. But now that we have a couple days now between the letter and you know, they're trying to move forward here, that they've gotten their story straight, they've gotten their talking points straight, and now it's full steam ahead with this idea of trying to still save collusion, or that they won't accept the findings of the Mueller report or the Barr letter, or they don't trust Bill Barr, that when they say weeks, not months, that we'll find out more, they don't really believe that. So now they've got all their ducks in a row, and they're now able to kind of come up with this narrative. They talk to their buddies Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell and Ted Lieu and Richard Blumenthal. Now they're ready to keep moving forward and not really look at some of their failures. You know, whether it was Brian Stelter or Dan Rather or Keith Olbermann saying that there are stacks of counts of obstruction of justice. And I should point out that if the Mueller team found evidence of obstruction of justice, they would have recommended it, but they didn't. So if they had doubts about it, that there's doubt about it then. And as a prosecutor, at least you're supposed to, you're not supposed to bring a case unless you think you can win it. So, you know, again, it's interesting to see this kind of contortions here, but they already let the genie out of the bottle by showing us what their first reactions were.
Well, and I think that it kind of shows you too how deep they were in the camp, that they had already come up with these predetermined conclusions, and they were 110% certain that this is how it was going to be, because you can tell that because they were so shocked, and there was no contingency plan for, hey, what if we end up being wrong here and it turns out that he didn't collude with Russia? That you would think that if they had considered that, then their reaction would have been kind of queued up. They would have kind of had that plan ready to go. The fact that they didn't, and it took them about 48 hours to scramble, you know, to come up with something else, tells me that they had 100% bought into this, and they didn't even consider an alternate possibility.
Right. No, I definitely think that's fair. I mean, CBS did an hour-long special on Monday night about the Mueller report, and a lot of the I try to like CBS because they're not as crazy. They speak in complete sentences, unlike David Muir at ABC. NBC, they don't have MSNBC there, so I try to be nice to them. They have some good stuff. But they did this hour-long special on the Mueller report, and it felt like a lot of their tape voiced-over segments were written and done as if they were going to find evidence of collusion and of obstruction of justice, but yet they did all this work, so they just kind of put it out there. And I'm sitting there watching it and talking with Tim Graham, and we're like, this is kind of awkward. This doesn't really square with like what actually happened. So it's like they wrote a book report, you know, about, and the book didn't turn out the way it did, but they delivered it anyway in front of the class. And now everyone kind of left standing around looking like, what was that? And the teacher's just kind of left to think like, see? Maybe?
No.
Didn't actually read to the end.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, you speak of reading to the end, and here's the thing. The situation could get worse as the details come out. Some details are going to be coming out of the Mueller report. How much is redacted? How much is not redacted? We'll still wait to see. Of course, the Democrats that don't want to take the recommendation of no collusion and, you know, that nobody else is going to be indicted. They're demanding, Chuck Schumer and all of them are out there demanding to see the details. It will be extremely interesting if the details really back up the report completely. What if there isn't much there? I mean, you got to think if they had all these subpoenas, all these hours of testimony, they had people in jail. They were basically, you know, until you tell us what we want to hear, we're going to keep you in solitary confinement. You know, that's the case with Michael Cohen.
Yeah, this is what we see with special and independent counsels, where they have so much power. Yeah, you're exactly right about that. That, I mean, they no congressional committee is going to be able to get as many people hauled in front of them, get as many pages of interviews, transcripts, financial, you know, statements, anything compared to what a special or independent counsel is able to do, because that's their sole job. Whereas congressional committees have all these things on their plate and they're not really able to, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time. So, I mean, you're exactly right about that. But so they're trying to figure out what to do going forward, and they're still trying to, you know, they're talking about hush money payments. Maybe we can get Trump that way, or the Trump Hotel. Who knows? You know. But now that they're moving on to not just Plan B, they're moving on to Plan C and Plan D.
And none of it has anything to do with collusion.
And none of it has to do with collusion,
which is what this was all starting with.
Exactly. The number of instances of collusion has gone way down, that they're kind of trying to get rid of that, saying that the president must have somehow obstructed justice because of that key phrase from the Mueller report that it does not exonerate him. Oh, well, that must mean he's guilty. No. You know, I mean, you know, read the fine print, everybody. I mean, this just shouldn't be that hard, but it is for a lot of these people in the news media. Because again, this is in terms of professional stories, this has to be the most devastating story of these people's careers.
Well, let's look at the weekend numbers. I mean, the reports are in over the weekend. Surprise, surprise, CNN and MSNBC lost a huge chunk of audience.
It's terrible. Fox News quadrupled CNN. I mean, seriously, who does that? I mean, our friends at the Daily Caller like to do the ratings. What does CNN lose to? I mean, it was some Travel Channel show. They had Nick Jr., Shark Week. I'm trying to figure out, like, what could beat them. I'm sure the Game Show Network, reruns of Family Feud, beat them. So, or...
Little House on the Prairie reruns.
Yeah. Richard Dawson is more appealing to watch.
Right. Oh, my. Yeah, oh, my. I mean, or, like, some random movie on Bravo, or, you know, the 100th rerun of Iron Man 2 probably beats, like, CNN.
Hey, you can't get enough of Gladiator on USA Network.
This is true. You know, Cuomo is just... I mean, again, Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, they're just so embarrassing at this point that they're still trying to admit that there's collusion. And Don, of course, Cuomo actually said to Giuliani, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, but
wrong.
To say, he wouldn't apologize to Giuliani this
well,
week.
Well, also, did you notice that he was like, well, you know, Trump lies too.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the worst excuse ever to try to cover your butt for telling things that weren't true. It's, oh, well, Trump lies too.
That is literally the definition of whataboutism, Brittany. That is,
you might as well have sat there and been like, yeah, well, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue. And, you know,
other networks like the Sci-Fi Channel don't air truth. They have things like Sharknado. So why should our network air?
Yeah, I'm a big viewer of sci-fi. Jeff Dickens and I know what's going on with that. So, yeah, we could definitely tell you that Chris Cuomo is less truthful than the Sci-Fi Channel. You know, it's just
you're more likely to get attacked by a shark being thrown in the air by a tornado going through your window of your apartment than you are to come across truth on CNN. It seems.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like that because they're like, I didn't do anything wrong.
You guys on this network,
what have I done?
Have tortured this man for 2 years with collusion, and nobody's apologized.
First of all,
before we talk about obstruction,
there was
apologize for the overreaction of collusion.
Not a chance.
Well, of course you're not.
Not a chance.
Of course you're not, because
you
you're not being fair.
No, Please, you know better than that, or you wouldn't
No,
be
I
here.
Don't know better. Here? I am outraged by the behavior of these networks.
Okay.
Collusion, 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 collusion. No collusion.
Okay, here's my case.
No collusion.
Here's my case.
Apologize.
Never. Here's my case.
Never?
Never. I didn't do anything wrong.
Rudy Giuliani just threw him through the meat grinder. You know, it was just terrible just seeing what was going on there, the seeing that they have nothing to apologize for. And then there are excuses that this president's behavior is the one that's so disturbing.
Yeah, what did Brian Stelter say? He said, look, we were just following a trail that President Trump set.
Mm-hmm.
It was his fault for laying right. the trail out in the first place.
It's showing that journalists can't think for themselves, Brittany. This is that they take what the president was saying or what they think they saw from the president and going from there instead of actually, again, trying to find facts. But again, as his boss said, they're not investigators. That's what Congress is for.
I mean, this is also the network that had – how many times have they had Michael Avenatti on as like an expert?
74 times, yes.
Yeah. Newsbusters knows the number right there, 74
yeah,
times.
Yeah, 147 times between CNN and MSNBC from March to, I believe, May or June 2018, which is just – I mean,
and now we might not see him anymore.
We're running out of libs to own, guys. So
will conservatives pounce if we run out of libs to own?
We're gonna have to start seizing on things. I don't know, seizing or capitalizing. We're gonna have to come up with some new verbs here, action verbs for us to go after libs for.
Speaking of seizing, there was a great story to seize upon on top of the Mueller report, which just really added to the week. The whole Jussie Smollett thing.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't believe Barr is a prosecutor with his recommendations, but boy, they certainly like to believe the prosecutor in Chicago, because Chicago, you know, well known for lack of crime and corruption, the city of Chicago, Chicago politics.
City in America.
Yeah,
at all.
I mean, like, seriously, did you guys? I didn't think Chicago could dig itself a deeper hole in terms of like lack of credibility. The news media tried to say President Trump doesn't have any credibility. Have they seen Chicago? like everyone inside the city of Chicago, I mean, it's so embarrassing. Like the level of corruption, you know, and again, obviously it's not surprising that Barack Obama came from Chicago. We can't forget that. And that Michelle Obama's former chief of staff sent an email to the state's attorneys on behalf of the Smollett family.
I didn't know she could issue pardons. That's news to me that a former first lady can issue pardons.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I didn't think so either. But again, there's one set of rules for them and then one set of rules for the rest of us.
Is it liberal privilege?
Liberal privilege, yeah.
But when you started, really digging into this, because of course, you know, I live on Twitter at this point. And so the first thing that breaks is, well, they're dropping all charges against Jussie Smollett. And the first natural question is, oh my gosh, why? So you start seeing these details coming out and you start to realize there is, again, and I don't presume to know exactly how all of these little threads are connected, because I think that there is a whole bunch of shady stuff that needs to be looked into. And I know there's a local police union, the local fraternity Order of the Police, is actually calling for a federal investigation into the Cook County state attorney for dropping the charges, because, I mean, I feel like you have to at least ask the question, was this politically motivated or does this have political ties, when you have got a very well-connected lawyer who is connected to political families like the Obamas, like the Emanuels, and she is actually trying to act on behalf of the Smollett family, and then all of a sudden she comes out, says we're dropping the charges because what? He surrendered his $10,000 bond and like did some community service that nobody
Jesse Jackson.
Oh my gosh! Like seriously, like of all the places you could go, I mean,
16 hours of community service for Jesse Jackson. Rainbow Push Coalition, stuffing envelopes, Jussie Smollett.
And he didn't just like do it like a couple days ago. He did it like weeks ago or something like that. So it wasn't. This was not like a one-off. Or a thing that they just kind of agreed to. He went and did it, and then they showed it to him, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's good enough.
I love how during his press conferences, we got to play a clip, but Jussie, you know, he maintains his innocence, even though they've admitted it's these two black guys. One of them was his trainer. You know, but it was a white guy in a MAGA hat.
He says he's been consistent.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I mean, I guess the only thing that's been consistent about all of this is Jussie Smollett maintaining that he's innocent. I mean, everything else has kind of changed. The deck chairs on the Titanic have been rearranged, but Jussie Smollett is still hanging out, singing on the stage.
Well, no one's a better person for advocating for him lately than Brian Stelter, embarrassing himself even more this week. Jussie has gone from victim to villain to victim again. He's back to being a victim.
I mean, were you there that night?
Yeah.
Is the question.
Yeah, cool. Were you there that night? I mean, that's a fun quote that we'll keep doing. Let me just read this quote that I think is really interesting that he said on CNN. The narrative has once again changed from victim, to villain, back to victim. It's been very confusing. People don't know what to believe, and we may never know what happened on that street that night in Chicago. But for his fans, for his friends, this is a triumphant moment that he can now get back to what he wants to do, which is work.
I think I just shed a tear.
I know. And then he went on. Yeah, then he did the cool story. Cool, were you there that night?
He tweeted that out, right?
Yeah, he tweeted that out. And I mean, and just things just kept getting worse for him. And that, the ratio was on, man. It just keeps getting worse. I mean, I feel like he's trying to outdo Chris Cillizza for being the most ratioed, tweet on the planet. This guy, it's so embarrassing, He has less than 100 retweets, and it just keeps getting worse for this guy.
Let me read it here. After the weekend, it looks like he has less than 100 viewers.
It is, however, 800. Exactly. Media buzz is cleaning up. Currently, yes, the ratio is 8,300 replies to 245 likes and 78 retweets. So whoever those, I wonder if he got some Russian bots to like his tweets and retweet him to make it seem like he wasn't getting owned as much as he was. Poor Brian. I mean, you think like, how can a human being think like this, to defend the media as much as they have, to defend Jussie Smollett as much as he has. What's amazing is that there are a number of journalists who are like, we don't know what's going on here. Jeff Glor on the CBS News last night said, if you're confused by any of this, we are too. When you get that level of admission from the news media, but yet Brian Stelter plowing right ahead. He's literally Leroy Jenkins sitting here.
Well, we mentioned, Chicago and the Obama and the Rahm Emanuel connection, but surprisingly, Rahm Emanuel's outraged on this one. That was, yeah. When he was getting ready to speak, when I heard he was going to speak, I thought, oh, here we go. He's going to defend it. But I mean, he was pissed.
Yeah, it was like, he literally said, have you no decency? I'm like, whoa. I mean, and then he went on with
Emanuel talking about decency. Wow.
Yeah, Rahm Emanuel, Chicago. I totally believe him as a side note for that he wasn't tipped off to this because this guy is a lame duck mayor. He's heading out of office. And the city wants to go even further to the left. So, they have every reason to think that he was not tipped off about this, so that his outrage is totally real. And he went on with Wolf Blitzer last night, and Wolf actually tried to say, well, what if something changed? What if the evidence wasn't there? And he just absolutely buries Wolf by talking about, he's like, you and I are both Jewish. Say a swastika ends up on one of our houses, our front doors. And then after some investigating, we find that we did it to ourselves. Like, we put it on each of our houses. What do you think would happen to us? What do you think would happen among our Jewish communities? Like, what do you think the responses would be? Now think about the same thing with Jussie Smollett. He should not have any credibility, but this guy does. And Empire seem like they're willing to go full speed ahead.
And you have people like Stelter that go through the mental gymnastics like this to defend Smollett, but they can't go through this. It's the complete opposite end when it comes to the Mueller report and Trump. It's right. A complete somersault in the other direction. Well, we don't know. We have to see. Why can't we see what's in the accusations against Jussie Smollett? Why were those sealed?
Yeah,
no one's asking that question.
And he went on a bender about TMZ and anonymous sources yesterday before that comment of his about Jussie Smollett
being the MAGA hat. Yeah,
about the MAGA hat. But actually, there's surveillance of the guys buying the Nigerian bodybuilders buying red hats at the thrift store, hardware store. And Smollett told Chicago police about the bag of country part.
And he told Gail King over at...
Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts.
Yes, exactly. Robin Roberts, you know. But despite all these facts, Brian Stelter is still going full speed ahead. And it's the same thing, you know. And he also said that we need to talk about something that's not talked about enough. Innocent until proven guilty. He literally said that about Jesse Smollett, but you're like, okay, so let's go through this here. Donald Trump and everyone else on his campaign, his entire family, and Brett Kavanaugh. What a self-own here. You know, talk about innocent until proven guilty for Jesse Smollett. But Brett Kavanaugh, he was full speed ahead with that, you know, trying to get rid of Brett Kavanaugh and how great the news media were. And he said in December about Donald Trump and collusion, does the public understand just how much trouble the president is in? If not, that is a failing of the press. But yet here we are, Brian Stelter, America's hall monitor, the media's janitor. There's some fun nicknames that are being thrown around with Brian Stelter here.
Does the media ever recover from this? Especially, go from Mueller report, look at the ratings over the weekend, to the flip for Jussie Smollett. It seems like it can't really get any lower.
Well, I think for MSNBC, the real proof is in MSNBC's ratings. Their primetime shows were within the same ballpark, let's just say, as Fox News for a while now.
Yeah, they pushing the anti-Trump narrative was working for them since the election.
And then by Monday, it just totally tanked. Hannity, Tucker, everybody was well ahead of the MSNBC shows that had been pushing collusion for years. You could just see that bubble. You can see that. I mean, that's like factual mathematical evidence of their bubble bursting. And then CNN, going from like 5 to 2 viewers, I don't know.
Here's my theory, and I want Brittany to chime in on this one. My theory is it's not so much that the viewers were switching from CNN over to watch Fox, because I don't think that would happen, as much as so many liberals just buried their head in the sand, stuck their fingers in their ear and went, nah, 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 nah. They didn't want to hear it. They couldn't hear it.
I think you bring up a really interesting point, and this is something that I've kind of been talking about the past couple of days, because I think that we're kind of in this dangerous territory here as a society and in our country, you know, not just the media, because at the end of the day, I mean, CNN basically admitted it when Donald Trump got elected, that they were really thrilled about their, you know, their upcoming ratings, which, you know, didn't really pan out. But the media responds to what they think society and the public is going to want to listen to, right? That's kind of their job at this point. So I think the question that we really need to be asking ourselves here is, are we really in a hunt for objective truth? Are we really in a hunt for finding out the facts and finding evidence and learning what's actually going on? Or are we in more of a quest for somebody to validate what we already believe? And when that doesn't happen, we bury our heads in the sand and we pretend like it didn't happen. And we just stay kind of inside of our little echo chamber. Because if that is the case, if we don't learn anything from this and we don't recognize that we need to get back to a pursuit of truth and of facts, then we're just going to keep doing this over and over and over again and pointing the finger at the other side when we get proven wrong and ignoring it, or when we get proven right and then ignoring it when we get proven wrong, and nothing ever changes. And I think that's a really dangerous place to be in, and it's a place where we need to kind of get introspective and look at what we believe, especially in a world of social media where everybody can share, you know, what they think we do live in an age where fake news is spread very, very easily. So is that really where we want to be? Where we just ignore it if it doesn't fit a narrative that we've preconceived?
Well, that's one to grow on. Brought to you by Brittany Hughes. Thank you for enjoying this PSA. We're simply out of time, guys.
Yeah.
We're wrapping up. Wow. You want to chime in last comment?
No, I just...
Curtis gets last comment.
No, I just think it's great that, your point is so well taken that... Is journalism still answering the who, what, where, when, why, and how? Is journalism still that? Because that's what it should be. But the question is, especially with cable news and CNN, MSNBC, is that still where it is? And unfortunately...
And it's still what we want it to be.
We want it to generally be that. We make fun of the media, but we genuinely want a healthy news media. but that's not what we're seeing right now.
All right, we're out of time. Until next week, thanks for joining us on MRC TV's podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brady Hughes. See you guys next time.